Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's Despicable Me 3 Family Box.
Triple M rocks footy.
Happy day at Triple MCG today. The Hawks take on the Pies. Collingwood 5-8 need a win to keep their finals hopes alive. And the Hawks, after a good win last week against Adelaide, will be looking to get another win on the board. Massive day coming your way on the Sunday Rub. What about the draw last night? We'll be discussing that almost immediately. Tommy Hawkins missing after the siren to give the Cats a win in the end, a draw between GWS and Geelong. Jaden Short on from the Tigers after they had a big win over in Adelaide. James Frawley, injured Hawthorn defender, will join us in the box, as will Brenton Sanderson, Collingwood assistant coach. Plus, Roosie's story this week. We delve into what happened with Barry Hall and Brent Staker and what role Roosie played in that whole situation. The quiz as well. A lot to look forward to. Mark Howard with you, Jay Clark. Wayne Carey is here, unlike last week. Wayne Swash is here, unlike last week. Paul Ruse is here. Ruse, we need to start with you. It's not comfortable for something that Jay-Z and I get into, but obviously the two boys last week couldn't make their way to the ground, which is, as a team, I guess a touch disappointing.
Well, look, I think as a leadership group, which we've got here today, I mean, and that's all about the feedback and things like that. So what I thought I'd do during the week, I thought I'd ring Dennis Pagan.
Yep.
You know, because I just thought, you know, very well-respected guys, Wayne Swash, Wayne Kerr, extremely well-respected. So we don't want to disrespect them. And to be honest, they've been here longer than I have. So I'm just a new guy. I thought, I rang Dennis and... Dennis had a couple of concerns that I spoke to him about. He just felt there's a guy that he respects in footy, and he told me that he just thinks the boys are a little bit complacent.
Right.
He's talking to Snowy the tram driver. He was talking to Doug.
Yes,
he was
yes.
talking to Snowy the tram driver on
knows everything.
During
Snowy.
The week.
Yep.
And Snowy did see, he was walking past Duck's apartment.
Yes, yes.
He saw Duck kicking back.
Right.
With a box of chocolates, some chips, Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4,
exactly.
Rocky 5. And so I said, okay, that's fine, Dennis. What about Wayne? He said, look, you can't go down to the confidence shop and just grab confidence. So he's very worried about Wayne's lack of confidence at the moment. So I just feel like we address it, we move on.
Okay.
All right, that's the way we do it. Rossi Lyon did it with Connor Blakely when he went surfing.
And respect to Connor for mine.
And he addressed it.
You know he's a boogie boarder, not a surfer.
Well, that's a whole different issue. But, Duck, Roosie's brought up the elephant in the room. Tell me, you didn't sit at home last Sunday and watch 5 straight Rockies rather than join us here?
Well, I've had a little bit of laryngitis. I've had it for a few weeks.
Right.
So the voice has been coming and going, and it literally went last Sunday. So... I did. I sat back, Roosie. Your Snowy's right on the money as usual, and I was flicking to the footy, obviously. You know, so keeping an eye on the games that were going on that day. And Foxtel had Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 swatter. On.
Which was the best?
I'm a Rocky 2, 3 man. So when
Mr. T.
When he beats Apollo and then he beats Mr. T, they're the two I like. And Drago was 4.
And Drago was at the Gold Coast game last night
I
as
know,
well.
He still, looks in pretty good nick, doesn't he,
Duck,
Drago?
You are our Horn Pacquiao expert today, as a man very good with your fists in your day. In an appropriate place. You'll be bringing us up to date on that. Now, Swatter,
yeah.
A la Connor Blakely, I heard last Sunday my sort of mates that get around drinking coffee and wearing Lycra that you knocked out a 160-kilometre bike ride up in the hills in your part of the world rather than join us here.
Yeah, no, I did. I did it all from the safety of my couch. Listen, Bruzy, Johnny come lately, premiership coach, you know, blah, 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 blah. The way I see this, Bruzy, is that Duck and I have been here doing the hard yards for years. And we got enough wins in the bank. And I reckon when you got enough wins in your bank, Ducky boy, you can just put your stars in cotton wool. And that's what you and I are. We've had a week off. And I tell you what, it's bloody nice when you're not having the heavyweights of Ruse and Howard and Jay-Z, who's got a little bit heavier through the course of this year, on your shoulders every week. So, no, I feel good. I feel well-rested. I didn't watch Rocky, any of them. And I'm sorry we weren't here last week.
Well, but, you were greatly missed, but we got through.
It was actually nice to spend a Sunday all day just on the couch doing absolutely nothing. And I did not give you guys a thought.
Neither did I, Duck, until my phone started going nuts about 1:45. Roosie's baking you blokes.
And fair enough, and you did a very nice job. But all right, very nice start. As I said, Hawthorn v Collingwood. But last night, an extraordinary game of football between GWS and the Cats. Tommy Hawkins had a chance to win it after the siren.
Shaw. He shanks a kick out of bounds on the full. It's got to be deliberate. Free kick to the Cats.
30 seconds, just find a target.
So he waits. They go inside again.
Tomahawk's done it.
He marks 30 metres out, 45 degree angle. He's got one for the evening, the big boy.
It'll be after the siren.
Hawkins on the runway. There's the siren. They trail by a point. Hawkins kicks for goal.
It's in behind.
He's missed. First draw for the season.
Yourself for a draw. I know yourself for a draw.
10-8, 68 apiece.
Arctic Monkeys as well on the end. Settle for a draw. That's it. All right, Jay-Z. An extraordinary finish to the game. There was sirens. There was whistles. There was all sorts. And in the end, the Big Hawk couldn't nail it.
When you consider the Cats had three debutants last night, fellas, in Wiley Buzzer, Young Simpson and Guthrie as well, I think this was actually quite a positive result for the Cats. But the sting in the tail was the umpire's involvement just on that last set shot from Tommy Hawkins, because you hear the siren go, fellas, and then there's a couple of second delay. The umpire then blows his whistle just as Tom Hawkins is about to drop the ball to boot, and he shanks it right immediately. And Ducker, I just sort of wonder, I mean, the AFL has ticked that off already, so the umpire is instructed to blow his whistle as soon as he hears the siren, so he's probably a bit late on that. But would that put you off as you're about to have a shot on goal, the umpire blowing his whistle?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so. I guess if I was in that situation, I generally, if you were to hear the siren when you're in your run-up, I'd probably go back and reset. I notice a lot of players don't. Hawkins has kicked some pretty big goals, by the way, after the siren.
Me the Hawks.
In his time. But, no, I wouldn't have thought that put him off. He didn't hit it well, though, did he?
Nah. Mm. It was funny. I noticed it at home, watching the telly, and I made a comment to my son. And I hadn't heard that before. Like, we've had a lot of kicks after half-time, quarter-time, three-quarter-time. And I presume the rule's the same. Doesn't matter what quarter it is. Mm. You got to blow the whistle. But that's the first time I've ever noticed a siren delay. Yeah. Whistle. Yeah. And I made a comment to my son. I said, did you hear that? So it was, we talked about it before with Duck, obviously being the forward. Not many players actually reset. Not many players stop and go back once the siren. To me, that's the most logical. Mm. Like, if you're a golfer, you see golfers do it all the time. If there's a snap of a camera or something like that, they step back. They readdress the ball, and then they hit it again. So
touch precious, the golfers. Listen, Hawk heard the whistle, but said it didn't put him off at all, from what I can gather.
Well, let's listen to Geelong coach Chris Scott, what he had to say on Tom Hawkins after the siren shot.
I think you'd won it when Tom marked in the full pocket there?
No, I was just excited that we got the chance. And obviously, the draw is better than the loss, so having the opportunity to at least get the 2 points was exciting. But it was a really tough shot, so I don't know that there'd be a player on the ground that would have gone back and thought, this is a lay-down misere, especially with that pressure. I suspect that Tom's really disappointed that he didn't knock the goal over from a really acute angle. But hopefully when the dust settles a little bit, he will be proud that he was the man in the arena at the end when it really counted.
When you consider, though, that Daniel Menzel was pulled out of the game late, I think he copped a knock to the knee in the warm-up, so he's a big loss. So Wiley Buzzer comes in. They were without their captain, of course, Joel Selwood as well, who was resting with concussion. I still think this was a pretty good performance from the Cats, Roosie.
I think the other thing with it, I need to look at the ladder, and we've probably got it here. A draw doesn't mean much to a side that's got a really good percentage.
Yep.
But to a team that hasn't got a great percentage, a draw can be a huge advantage at the end of the year, because it becomes like an unbeatable percentage. So I'm not actually sure Geelong's percentage and Giants. So a draw in that situation can mean a lot at the end of the year. And I agree. I mean, no Selwood playing against the Giants. But again, it's just indicative of how the season's going, isn't it? I mean, it's such an even season. I mean, two great games last night. It was hard to flick between both channels to work out which game you're going to watch.
Jono Patton, I was watching that game. I don't have the details, but he was dominating there. He took a couple of strong marks, and then he disappeared. And I'm thinking, where's Jono? Kick it to Jono, and he wasn't on the ground for a fair period, it seems, now you've told me, Jay-Z.
Yeah, he looked like the man who was going to steer the Giants to victory, taking a big couple of grabs and kicking that goal. And then he was pumped up. He sort of fires up to the crowd, and then he runs straight to the bench, Duck. Mm. And then, of course, there's that situation. He got stranded on the bench, I think, for about 8 minutes, only came on for the last minute or so of the game. What is going on with this situation? I mean, I know sports science and the rotations are all very sort of previously well-structured, but in that situation, it's the last 10 minutes of the game, he's red-hot forward. You being in control of this, would you want him out on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely you would. But like I said, it's obviously a set time, Roosie. He would have known that at that particular time he has to come off. That's what he does obviously every week or... I assume every week, but when you're on fire, and I was speaking to Roosie before we came on air today, when you're a big forward especially, if you're feeling good and you've just, you know, like you said, he's on fire, he's marking the footy well and he's really in the game, you should have the ability as a senior player, I wouldn't have thought one of the young players, but you should have the ability to back yourself in and actually stay on the ground if you think you are feeling good.
Roosie, you're the only coach in the room. How does it happen? How does it?
Yep.
How is it that a key player can stand on the bench for 8-10 minutes and there's no interchange to get him back on the ground? Just explain
It's a good conversation because I know clubs get frustrated and fitness guys get frustrated with some of the commentators when why would you take him off? Why would you take him off? So I think you've got to respect the industry for a start because there's an enormous amount of research that goes into what they do and to put a really good product on the field and to not get 4 goals kicked on in the last 5 minutes. So it's not a random thing. And I think as long as there's a balance in terms of the commentary about it, I think it's healthy. Yeah, an answer to Duck's question first, Swatter. Often a runner will go out and say to a player, more an experienced player, how are you feeling? But you're relying on an honesty in that situation. Nah, I need a break. I need a quick break. No worries. Come off the ground. Young players, you need to manage a little bit more. When you're taking them off, you clearly don't think you're not going to be able to get them back on for 10 minutes. Mm. You know, so you're not doing it purposely to have them standing on the bench. What tends to happen, Swatter, in that last scenario, if you feel like the game's sort of bogged down, you're generally trying to get a player off as quick. So Patton's probably a difficult one because you want him at full forward. Now, to take a half back on, to put Patton on, that they've then got to real like get up. You got a roll midfielder that's got to get the half back. You got a high half forward that's got to get to the midfield. The pattern goes around, so you are trying all those different things. Mm. So it's not quite as simple as why aren't you taking. So to Duck's point, absolutely, there are discussions around. And to be honest, if you're looking at the clock, you don't want to make any changes in the last 3, 4, 5 minutes. So you're really trying to set it up, but it's not always an exact science, and we're seeing teams getting caught a bit, and it is when the ball's on the other side of the ground and you can't get players sort of off.
What's frustrating for us watching Roosie, I reckon, at times, is when you see a bloke like John Patton, he's playing well, or a guy's just kicked a goal, he sprints off quicker than he sprinted at any point while he's been
I can see the frustration. And you go, well, hang on,
he's just sprinted off quicker than... Yeah.
And I think the other frustration is when you see him come off and 30 seconds later he's come back on. Yeah. So the exertion that he...
So what's the point of the 30 seconds off anyway?
What's that?
What's the point of the 30 seconds off anyway?
Just to explain, it's a great conversation. Often the 30 seconds might be because someone's got injured quickly and you have to get them off to assess. So, unfortunately, you have to bring that player back on. So, it's not an exact science. And there's a lot of discussion between the bench, the coaching staff, and you're trying to get it right, but it is difficult.
Is there also an element of knowing the player? Like, there are players in the competition that, you know, you kick a goal and you can go bang, bang, bang. You kick 2 or 3 goals in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Because you're up, you're that type of player. You've sort of got to know your players as well. And if they've been a little bit down and then they get one, the type of player that can get 2, 3, 4 Swatter very quickly, Stevie J.
But I don't underestimate the fact, because I think we highlight the negatives a lot.
Yep.
Don't underestimate the number of times that if you noticed it, a runner would put a hand up. And I saw it a couple of times last night even someone went to go, who kicked the goal for... might have been Richmond, he went to go off and was sent back on. So that does happen.
What were you like with runners when you were playing?
Well, they couldn't find
him. Well, when I finished in 98, it's funny, and my last year I spent a lot of time on the bench in the last 10 weeks because really it was you pick your best 18 and the other four only really came on. And Rocket had this theme in the last game we played. Well, it turned out to be a last game. It was a good theme, and it was about... boys, we've got to get a ticket on the train today. Everyone's got a ticket. Everyone's getting on the train, and we're playing Adelaide at the SCG. And I start on the bench, and
you know, so at halftime, I hadn't been on the ground, you know. And Rockets, you know, in the rooms, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said to Stewie Max, mate, I can't get a ticket. I said, do you know where I can get a ticket? Where do I get a ticket from? I can't get a ticket. And he was laughing and I was laughing. So I actually came on about 10 minutes into the third quarter because I couldn't find the booth to get the ticket.
The booth had gone.
It's gone. It's left.
Roosie rolling.
I couldn't get on it.
Roosie rolling into an early unauthorised version of Roosie's story time. Last night, big win by the Tigers over Port Adelaide by 13. Not easy to get a win over there, and they did it really well.
Top four they're in, the Tigers, and they haven't been there for 17 years. Howie, being in the top four position this early in the season. Yeah, and really just validates, I think, a lot of the things that Roosie's been seeing this year. You caught it early in the season, Roosie, just about the game style, a lot more pressure in the forward half and some more instinctive ball use. And the Richmond coach, Damien Hardwick, was pretty positive after the match about some of the changes the team has made since last year.
It's based on the fundamentals of the game, really. Look, we were disappointed in a couple of areas of those tonight, contested ball, but our pressure in and around the contest, you know, our tackle count numbers are high. It's a different template than what we've had previously. So we're really confident that it stands up in big games. And, you know, we've been in every game this year bar one, the Adelaide game, obviously. But I've been really happy with the way it's going. Like I said, it's an evolving game. Our players are constantly learning. They're constantly getting better. We challenge them more and more every week. We've still got a lot of improvement left in us. Our best footy, mark my words, is still in front of us.
Roosie, I mean, your thoughts. I mean, this was a big game. They were down by 16 points, I think, late in the third quarter. And we know they've lost a lot of close ones. I think four games by under 9 points, but really held their nerve late in the game. And that pressure, those pressure forwards that we've seen all year came to the fore again.
Yeah, if you've got a sustainable game style that's indicative of, you know, talking about the Bulldogs or the Swans or whoever it is, then you... It really is as a matter of for Richmond. Yeah, can the young guy stand up for long enough? And they're going to go through some ups and downs. But in terms of the way they play, you go to the coach's box and you're confident if you can execute it, you're going to stay in games, you give yourself a chance to win. So I've loved the way Richmond have gone about it this year. And last night was fascinating because you had two great games on trying to flick backwards and forwards and you're watching the score down the bottom of the box and you're going backwards. So I saw bits and pieces of that game, but it's just a reflection to me. It's a reflection of what Damien's done. It's a reflection of how he's been prepared to change the way they play. It's a reflection of the way they've set up their team based on what premiership teams do. And they're executing it really well. Will they have some ups and downs? Absolutely, because they're still, yeah, they're very much reliant, Dark, on Castagna and Butler and Rioli. And yeah, last night, Stengel. Like from the Crows, he used to play, not him, but Stengel. So they're relying on some young kids. Aspie's been really important. We know we've talked a lot about Rance, but it's their game style. It's sustainable. And they look like they've bought in.
Caddy Nankervis.
Prestia. Yep. But they're all buying into it. And again, last night, Basahuli wasn't there. It's really important to that game style. But it's one man out, one man comes in, plays the role. And that's what I love about what they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think back to when Damien Hardwick last year was on one of the footy shows and... There were a couple of questions asked to him, and when he answered it in the manner that he thinks that the list that they've got, now clearly the inclusions, Caddy, Nankervis, and Prestia, they've been, big inclusions. But the fact that he said on that occasion, he said, I think we've got a really good list, strongest list since I've been in the club, and we'll bounce straight back into the finals. And they almost mocked him.
Yeah.
And it was almost like, look at him and say, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
And, well, he backed himself. And what he's done is over the summer, as Roosie said, he's gone away, new game style, as you said, brought these young kids in, brought a lot of speed in. Martin's played more centre forward. Cochin's had a great year. He's grown as a leader. You look right across their list, and I reckon just about to a man, everyone's had better years than what they had last year, and that's why they sit in the top four.
Including this man who came off the rookie list, another 20 disposals last night for Jaden Short, joins on the line now. G'day, Jaden. Thanks for having a chat with us. How are you?
No worries, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very good. It's good to get the win last night, and thanks for having me.
Oh, mate, great to have you on. Congratulations to you and the team on last night. A fantastic win. The last 5 minutes of the third quarter and then the final quarter, that was some scintillating footy by your footy team.
Yeah, it was some pretty good footy to be a part of. And, it was great to get the win over in Adelaide. It's always good to go over there and come home with the win. So, we're pretty happy.
Jaden, we talked about your game style, and obviously there's been a lot of talk this year about the changes and that. I'm just interested in you. I mean, when did you guys come back to pre-season, and when did you get the feeling it was going to be a little bit different, the small forwards, the quick forwards, the higher press, you know, trying to get re-entries? Because that can be quite exciting for a group of players to come back and say, oh, okay, geez, this. So when did you start to get a feeling from the coaching group that's going to be a lot different the way we're playing this year?
It was pretty early. We got about six or seven small forwards in the team that are putting on, you know, immense pressure on the defenders. So, and well, obviously our defenders were playing on them, and they were turning it over on us. So, it was always hard during preseason to play on them, and they've bought it for the season as well, which has been good.
Did it take a lot of education, a lot of meetings, et cetera, or did you guys sort of, on the back of last year, on the back of watching the Bulldogs and scouting other teams, obviously there's an awareness of what makes, you know, really good premiership teams. Did it take a lot of meetings to sort of sit down and work out, you know, how you're going to be a front half team, a bit more bolder with the ball, tackling forward 50, or did it sort of come a bit more naturally than perhaps what everyone thought?
Yeah, I think we're sort of the similar amount of meetings and stuff we've had in the past. It was just that I think all the boys, you know, you go to the club every day and want to get better, and everyone bought into what we'd been taught, and everyone just wanted to win. So I think once we worked out that this could work for us, I think all the boys were 100% in on it, and yeah, it's been great.
Jaden, the last quarter, because the Tigers have gone down in these close losses four times this year, did it affect the psyche, or were you nervous at three-quarter time? How did you handle that sort of break at the last change and that last term, because it was still quite close again?
Yeah, it was close. I don't think it really affected. I think we, you know, don't need to back our game plan in and keep playing the way we're playing, not go into our shells and stuff like that. But yeah, we continue to play the way we played, and yeah, we got over the line. So if we continue to do that, yeah, it was good.
Hey, Jaden, look at the paper today and look at the stats. You have no Basher Hooler, who's out with a suspension. Cochin and Rance had quiet opening halves, were better in the second half. Jack Rewald only kicks one goal for the game. And then according to the main stats in the paper, the team only managed to win or defeat Port Adelaide in five of the 14 statistical categories. I think that just underlines your ability, even though the opposition had more of the ball and most of the stats were in their favour, just the ability to find a way to win.
Yeah, that's it. I actually read that myself as well. It was a pretty funny stat. But yeah, that's it. We got those small forwards down there, and you know, if Jack does kick one, we can sort of have confidence in the other boys to kick a couple as well. And yeah, they're playing some great footy, and yeah, they're exciting to play with. And you always know that they're gonna put the defenders in under some pressure. And yeah, they always seem to get their name on the scoreboard as well, which is good.
Jaden, enjoyable chatting with you. Sound like you've got a nice little spring in your step wherever you're ringing in from. What do you get up to away from football?
I've started playing golf. I'm no good, but me and one of the boys, Jack Graham from the club, have started playing. And yeah, I'll play with him because we're not that great, and a few of the other boys are too good for us. So we go by ourselves and just have a little casual hit here and there.
You've been banned from the rest of the group, have you?
Yeah, no, I'm not good enough for the other boys. So
are you watching? Because Duck's going to bring us a full wrap of Horn versus Pacquiao. Is that something that will be catching your eye later on today or not? In fact, probably in about half an hour's time.
Yeah, I think there's a few of the boys catching up to watch that, so I'll probably go catch up with them as well and get my head around that. So that'll be a pretty good fight.
All right, Jaden, great to have a chat with you. Best of luck to you and the Tigers for the rest of the season.
No worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
Jaden Short from the Richmond Footy Club, who had a bit of spark about it, must be said.
We like that. I play golf, but I'm no good.
We need to talk about the Pies next, but a couple of things, just from last night's game. The job that they did on Alex Rance with Trengrove last night was really, really interesting, Ruse, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I think that'll happen more and more, but I like Swatter's point. It's funny because sometimes you can change things. You know, you worry a bit about whether it's Cochin not getting in the game, whether it's Rance not getting in the game. Sometimes you can get distracted by that in the coach's box. I just love the way that they let Rance keep on playing. Mm-hmm. You know, and Cochin
well,
as well.
He's been around. I mean, he's a great player.
Exactly.
Some players work it out themselves.
So you don't need to make those sort of changes, you know, because they'll make adjustments themselves, those great players. Because I know there's a lot of discussion around, you know, Johansson getting tagged. At some point, you've just got to fight your way through it. You've got to work your way out. Rance is a centre-back. His main job is to beat his man. And then he worked out ways to get more involved in the game as he did as the game wore on.
Not sure where you boys were this morning and what time you woke up, probably most of you at your own house. I'm not sure where Duck woke up. However, frosty at Bowen Head this morning. Oh, real frosty at Bowen Head, which is unusual down. What about where you live out in the sticks out there?
Every day.
Is it frosty out there every day?
Every bloody day.
So you can get out on the Treadley this morning?
Not a chance.
Would have been very... It didn't go that well. For those that not updated, the Tour de France kicked off last night. The Tasmanian Richie Porte, who was favoured.
36 seconds off Chris Froome.
Geraint
Thomas.
Trial, was it?
Yeah, it was wet. It was only 14 Ks. But I tell you what, if you want a podcast to understand, if you're not into cycling, Lance Armstrong's Stages podcast, put that aside. If you want to understand what it means, 36 seconds for Richie Porte, what does it mean for Chris Froome, that podcast with Lance Armstrong.
What's it called?
Stages. Unbelievable.
So what does it mean? Simple terms.
I listen to the podcast. So Lance puts the podcast up an hour after each stage.
Right.
And he explained this morning that because of the conditions, and if you're a cyclist and you ride across, you know, the white markings on a road, it's like ice. So he said, you know, if you wanted to ride safe during stage one, which most of the GC contenders, which Richie Porte is, general classification, safe riding might be a 10 or 15 second lead that you give to Chris Froome.
Right.
He said 36 seconds is not safe riding.
Oh, right.
It's not safe riding. So given that it's only stage one, he's got a lot of work to do to make it up.
So that's like a 10 goal deficit or something, is it?
Yep.
I'd rather get under the house and clean the cobwebs and watch the cycling.
And when was the last time you reckon Duck got under the house to clean the cobwebs?
No Phil Liggett either.
No. Well, Matty Keenan.
No Phil Liggett.
It's real exciting stuff.
How long till the fight, Duck? There's a gentleman sitting around in that looks to be a massive crowd in Brisbane as well. Big, warm, sunny day.
Barry Michael heading up the broadcast.
What's the history of the tuxedo for the boxing? Does anyone know?
Not sure.
I think
Jay-Z, can you do
sort of out of Vegas.
Just
type
trying
situation.
To. Well, most of the people in the crowd all have the Mr. T starter kits on. You know, their gold chains and they want to be gangsters.
I reckon if you there, pay close attention, you may see our boy, former Triple M member of our family, Jakey King, just rolling out up there with a Mr. T starter kit on today. He likes it.
He likes a bit of the bling.
Well, Duck will keep us updated on Horn versus Pacquiao as it's getting set to kick off there. Now, the Pies, massive day, as we said, Jay-Z, they come in 5 and 8, and a couple of interesting selection decisions as well that have caused a few people to raise their eyes.
Well, it certainly raised my eyebrow, Howie, dropping Ben Reed out of the team and bringing in the big American, Mason Cox. Now, I think at the start of the season, I certainly thought that Ben Reed was just about Collingwood's most important player. But Nathan Buckley explained that the All-Australian defender was dropped because Tyson Goldsack, Lyndon Dunn, Jeremy Howe were all performing better in a defensive role. So he gets the chop and they bring in Mason Cox, who kicked 6 goals in the VFL last weekend and was very good from a ruck perspective as well. So he's going to play forward and ruck. He was going better. So now they've got Darcy Moore and Mason Cox to kick to in the forward line. I just wonder, and you guys are the experts, but why wouldn't you play? Surely Ben Reed would give you more forward than what Mason Cox would.
Out of form, Ben Reed, with all due respect to Mason Cox, would give you more of an option, more versatility inside your forward fist than Mason Cox. The VFL is a good competition. He's a big boy. He should dominate that. But this is a massive step up. And we haven't seen Mason Cox rip a game apart. I'd have Ben Reed every day of the week.
Has he been out of form? The games Reedy. I've seen, I don't know. I was as surprised as anyone to see
him. I think it was a Giants game up at Collingwood Live, and he played forward that day from memory, Ben Reed. And that was the best their forward line had looked. I'm surprised. I actually think you can play Cox, Reed, and Darcy Moore, because if you look at the way, I don't mind Cox. I guess the problem, if you look at what we spoke to just Jaden Short about, the way they set up their team, they've got a clear way that they play. They've got a clear one man out, one man in. Collingwood don't have that. Now, this is not necessarily a Nathan Buckley issue. That's the coaching component, but the list management component is another thing of it. Yeah, clearly Richmond have gone out to get quick forwards, dark and speedy forwards, and they've had a plan. High pressure.
Big
this is why we've got to play. If you look at Collingwood's list management over the last however many years, it's been appalling. Yeah, because they don't actually have... And I'm not going to make a comment as to how I believe each player performs at AFL level. What I'm going to say is Jesse White goes in. Yeah, where does he fit in? James Ace comes into a midfield that's already got Levi Greenwood, Treloar, Adams.
Chris Mayne
so
can't
it's not
get a game.
Chris Mayne. I'm not making a statement on them as individual players. Jeremy Howe, I know for a fact, was brought in. He was promised he was going to play forward and wing. That's the reason he picked Collingwood over the Suns.
promised to play forward and wing. He's now playing halfback flank. So they don't actually have a list management plan. That's part of the problems. If you don't think Ben Reed's your best defender or best forward, don't bring don't bring Lyndon Dunn in. Mm. Yeah, and I like Dunn in, what I agree with Bucks is eventually you're picking your team on form. And at the moment, Lyndon Dunn's playing really good football, Goldsack's, but I don't see a plan in place. That's why I was actually positive about the Wells move, because at least Wells and Hoskin Elliott, at least Wells and Hoskin Elliott gives them some speed, some out. So there seemed to be a plan in relation to that. Now everyone has hits and misses. So I'm not talking about, because you can look at Melbourne under me as a coach, you can look at Sydney. We had some hits and misses, but you must have a plan as to where they're going to play, how you're going to build your team, and as a result of that, how you're going to play on a consistent basis. So I think their list management's been really poor.
Pretty strong comments, Rusey.
Well, we're here today, and again, you can put, and Bucks is under enormous pressure, but I'm not talking about Nathan Buckley. Now, if Nathan's involved in all those discussions, then that brings Nathan into that argument. What I don't see, and I can only talk about Melbourne, the consistency of Melbourne, Todd Viney, Jason Taylor, Simon Goodwin, and we've had some misses, don't get me wrong. You know, Ben Kennedy's, I think, still playing in the seconds. Hiretti Lumumba's not there through the concussion. So I'm not talking about whether individual players, and I'm not making comment on whether Chris Mayne can play or James H can play. What I'm saying is you have to have a plan. Teddy Richards going to Sydney. Marty Matner, Reece Shaw, there's a plan. Job. You're there to play a position, and I used to say this to the players, those players all the time. I'm bringing you here, Duck. You're in my 22 from round one. Now, you can work your way out of the team, but that is my team. Then it comes back to form. That's my criticism of Collingwood as we sit here today at 5-8.
Yeah.
Let's not continually focus on Nathan Buckley, because I think the more you coach, the better you're going to get it. And there's a really good article here today around, but I think Bucks is actually a really good coach.
Yep.
But you need to put good people around these young coaches. You need to help them. You need to have consistency.
And he hasn't had that. Walsh, no. Barmy. Mm.
Absolutely.
Gubby.
That article you're referring to in the Herald Sun today by John Ralph, and it's just having a look at, if it didn't work out for Nathan, some of the other coaches that might be putting their hands up. Paul Ruse has consistently said he will not entertain coaching offers, blah, 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 is jetting out to Hawaii immediately after the season. Quote, on the back of what happened last year when I came back to coach Melbourne, people are going to speculate, but we will be away from October to December every year, hitting up Hawaii, drinking margaritas. I will not be at Collingwood. Pretty much what it says here, Ruse.
You've added that little bit.
You've got a good life. Yeah.
What about Ruse as a more of a director role? Like, not being the senior coach, what if they said, come in, help oversee the whole program? Would that appeal more?
Oh, look, again, I don't know. I don't like speculating on clubs. But what I'll say in a general sense, if I was appointing a coach now, I wouldn't be just appointing a coach. I would be saying, if let's say it's what applied to be the, coach of bloody Shepherd and I,
because
I'm not going to be specific about clubs because you get misquoted.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would say, Wayne, tell me who you're bringing with you. Yep. I want to know, Wayne, I'm employing you as a senior coach, let's be clear, but I'm not going to employ one person.
A whole structure.
It's gone beyond that. Footy's gone beyond that. I'm saying, Wayne, show me who your assistant coaches are. Mm. Show me what you think about your list management. Do you want to keep this bloke in list management?
I wouldn't be taking you, Howie.
Et cetera, et cetera. Because I think we focus too much on Jay-Z from a media point of view. We focus too much on the coach. If I'm at Collingwood or Melbourne or whoever it is, I don't care who it is looking for a coach at the end of the year, pick any single team in the competition, and I'm part of that panel, I'm saying, Wayne, tell me who your panel is.
I agree with Ruse. I've got no idea. This is just my view on coaching, but Nathan Buckley could be the right coach and the best coach for this group. But does Nathan Buckley have a program and people around him that allow him to be the best coach he possibly can? It's too easy to load the gun, the bullet in the chamber, point it at a coach and go, he's no good.
And
do we know?
And the players, are reasonably important to a coach's success, I would have thought. Mm. And again, talking on my own experience, when I went to Melbourne, I took Ben Matthews, George Stone, Brett Ellison.
Daniel McPherson. Greg Stafford.
Greg Stafford. That's six people that I took into that footy club. So it was never going to be about, what's that?
Didn't you have my number?
So you already have an idea of who you actually want to bring into your footy club. If you don't, You know, and I think that's where the game's got to go in terms of this coaching discussion.
And it's clear that that inconsistency in terms of his right-hand man, Walshy, Gubby, Barmy, turnover all of a sudden, has impacted that on the recruiting, as you said before, the coaching, the stability, having someone that he trusts. But Collingwood also face a key crossroad in a month's time, because that's when all clubs have to tell the assistant coaches or give them some sort of indication whether they're going to be recontracted for next year. So Robert Harvey, Scotty Burns, Brendan Sanderson is contracted. Aside from him, I understand all the Pies assistants are out of contract. So in 4 weeks' time, Purdy's going to have to say to these guys, Scotty Burns, etc., you're in for next year or you're not.
Yep.
So while Collingwood is waiting till the end of the year to make a call on Nathan Buckley, we're going to get a bit of an insight, I think, in 4 weeks' time.
Hey, do you have a view, Roosy, as to when you think a coach, how many years it takes for a coach to actually evolve into a good coach? I know there's a lot of things in that, but, you know, we get to 5 years. Is that sufficient time before a board can make a decision on if he's the right man to keep going forward?
It's a good question, Swan. I think it varies from club to club, and that's why I talk about, you've got to look at coaching more now around management, teaching, leadership, etc., etc. And that's why a young coach coming into a footy club, it's very difficult because they don't have that experience. Mm. And that's why we see a lot of misses, because the biggest ingredients that you're missing as a coach is not the X's and O's and the stoppages and the kick-ins, etc., etc. That's managing 44 players. It's managing and working with staff, medical staff, fitness staff. It's talking about it's talking about your membership, your sponsorship, and all those sorts of things. So it's a vastly different job. That's why you've got to interact with your list managers and all those sorts of things.
We need to take a quick break, Roosy, because James Frawley's just wandered
he's
in.
Just shouldered me on the way in.
This could get a bit awkward. Hawthorn taking on Collingwood at the MCG. Sun is shining. Up in Brisbane, Duck, just a quick update. We're not too far away from the main event.
Yeah, we've got a young man singing the national anthem, by the look of that. Looking at... The young man there just hitting the pads, Howie.
Jeff Horn getting ready in the rooms. Yes, and Michael
got a little
Buffer.
His outfit looks a little bit like, remember the Karate Kid?
Number one, two, or three. Did you watch that as well?
No, the guys that Karate Kid was fighting, you know, the bad boys.
Yes.
The Black Cobras.
That's what Horny's outfit looks like.
Yeah. All right, time to introduce our next guest.
Who's shaking his head.
And this man has missed the last 7 games. He's out for a few more, so I thought maybe he's done his ACL or had a shoulder reconstruction or something. But James Frawley's wandered in and said, he's got a small issue with his toe. Hello, James.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Well, how can a man miss, with the greatest possible respect, 7 games with a toe, turf toe?
I don't know, mate, to be honest. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? I got a sore toe and I missed 7 games and a couple more to go. So, a bit embarrassing, but...
Something like... this happened at Aaron Sandlands a few years ago, remember? Did he, you stub it in the ground or is it a contact injury?
I think I got stepped on and I got sore for a few weeks and I kept playing. And then, in the end, just gave way and snapped, so... I was pretty sore at that stage, but it's getting better now. I started running and stuff. So,
well, that's good news.
So relating it, Chip, to an ankle injury, which people are more familiar with. It's like a medial or something. How would you relate it to that, in terms of an injury?
Not a doctor, mate, but I'm not really sure. But, no, it's just tendons of the toe. And so it's like an ankle. So you get ligaments on the side and stuff. And just them getting snapped, I guess.
You don't hear much about the toe, do you?
Well, it must be a touch embarrassing telling people you missed 2 months of football because of your toe.
Well, everyone keeps asking me about it. I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's just me toe, mate. So, and just walk away.
Isn't it super painful, though, Chip? Isn't it? It's a super painful injury. Could you kick on that foot when it was sore?
Not really. I did, but so I did it against Brisbane. But I'd probably heard it 3 weeks before. And I kept playing, and just gave away that game. And I got pretty sore after that game. So,
you're pretty courageous to keep on playing.
Oh, yeah. Courageous with a sore toe, mate.
Hey, gutsy win last week in Adelaide.
Yeah.
A fantastic win. Most people outside of the club, myself included, thought Adelaide and comfortably, but flipped it over on its head. So a lot of confidence taken out of that win.
Yeah, I think last week was a really good insight to the young players coming in, like Burton, Brown, a few players in the back line playing well. If everyone plays their role and does their bit for the team on the day, anyone's a chance. Because I think this season, anyone can win. Mm. So if you're on the day, you're a good chance.
Oh, it's been an interesting time, Chip, I guess, for you to go to Hawthorn, because you went there, saw them at their best. As much as the Melbourne experience was pretty tough, how much has that helped you now to educate some of those young guys? Going through I don't like the word rebuild, but going through probably a reprogramming with some of your game style, which I thought was significantly different last week against Adelaide. So how much has that sort of helped you to help the young guys?
Well, I guess it helps a little bit, but not too much. But there's a few blokes that I guess are used to winning all the time, and they get a bit down and flat after you know, a few bad losses, and you just got to say, come on, mate, it's all good. It's a game of footy. You know, the sun comes up the next day, and yeah, just get there and train hard, and you know, practice what you've got to practice, and try and improve for next week. And yeah, like I said before, the young boys have come in and actually are improving a lot, and it's really helping us get better.
And then what's Alistair Clarkson's role been behind the scenes? I mean, how much is he barking? How much is he cuddling? Have you seen the coach over the past 2 months?
Oh, it's pretty hard to read old Clarko sometimes. So it's a bit of everything, really, a bit of cuddles and a bit of barking, mate. But yeah, no, he's been great with the young kids, and you know, trying to develop this always new players coming to the side, and yeah, he's done a great job. He's a super coach.
What do you prefer? How do you like Clarko giving you your feedback, your messages?
Just nice and calm, mate.
Right.
Nice and calm.
So sort of a cuddle and a handshake without the angry Clarko.
No, I don't mind it. If you, you know, if you deserve a bake, you get a bake. And you know, I'm pretty old school footballer kind of guy. So if you deserve it, you cop it. And
do you ever
move
get one
on
from
get
Bruzy back in your day?
Maybe one, maybe one or two.
Which did I cook you? Were you there the day I cooked Dunny for that torp up the middle of the ground?
Yeah. I saw a few backs from old Rizzy, but yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Hey, tell us a little bit about young Burton. From afar, he looks like the best young kid that you've got coming up. He had a fantastic game last Thursday, and it seems a long time ago now, doesn't it? Last Thursday night against Adelaide, but looks a very accomplished player.
Yeah, I think coming in, we didn't really know much about him because I think he slipped through the draft a little bit with a broken leg in the draft. And, yeah, he comes straight into training, and he didn't really train for probably 6 months when he first arrived. So we didn't know much about him. And last year he had a pre-season and did okay. Then he kind of hurt his knee again a little bit. And so we only really saw him this year come out of his shell and actually start training really well. And even on the training track when he first started, he was unbelievable, lighting up the track. He's playing as a forward at the start, and some of his freakish ability to kick goals from nowhere, and he's going to be a good player, and I think it put him down back to, you know, he's got a good kick on him and uses the ball well, so hopefully keeps going the way he's going, because he's going to be a good player.
He kicks him. Two critical goals, didn't he? I think he was playing on Tex Walker at the time when he pushed up the ground. Did a terrific job. Chip, just tell us a little bit about the game style, because it's so distinctive when you got there. You know, that uncontested, and it was just almost impossible to get the ball off Hawthorn. You know, Birchall and obviously Mitchell and Lewis and all that sort of stuff, but more around the reprogramming and development. You know, Tommy Mitchell comes in as a contested ball animal sort of thing. So I think Birchall and Hodge coming back helps it, but is there a little bit of transition now to work out, okay, we've got to not go away from the uncontested mark, but we've got to complement that now with some real contested ball? And I thought against Adelaide, you looked so much better and more potent around the ball.
Yeah, I think we've adjusted a few things this year in that game style. So I think the first, probably first 12 rounds, we were getting smashed in contested ball most weeks. And it's a pretty important stat, I guess, these days where most teams would win the contested possession, they're going to win the game. So, yeah, we've tried to modify a few things in the game plan and tweak a few things. And, like you saw on last Thursday against Adelaide, we actually played to those structures and it worked well for us.
We are speaking to injured Hawk James Frawley on the Sunday Rub. Jeff Horn coming out into the ring as we speak. A late change. One of the sides is the Hawks, is it, Jay-Z?
Yeah, Ben Stratton is out for the Hawks with a knee issue. Howie and the young Kiwi, Kurt Heatherly, comes into the Hawthorn team. So lost a bit of experience there with Ben Stratton. Chip, how's Jager O'Meara going? It's unclear whether he's going to come back at all this season, it seems. How are you seeing him behind the scenes? Because coming to a new club, obviously he wants to impress you guys, and he's out with his continuing knee issue. Must be really hard for him.
Yeah, it'd be tough for him. He came in pre-season, he was fighting fit, and he was training really well and really hard, and that was the most thing I admired about him, just the way he went about it. Yeah, he's just a really hard worker. Yeah, he's pretty frustrated at the moment with his knee, but I think he's getting a little bit better. They've worked out what actually the issue is. So I think he's aiming for maybe a couple of games at the end of the year. So fingers crossed we see him this year and hopefully gets out there and on the park.
Has it affected his sort of behaviour around the club at all? You know, has he seemed down at any point?
Not really, no. He's a pretty chipper guy. So he's, you know, gets there and trains hard and rehab and stuff. And No, he hasn't really had much effect on him, to be honest. Yeah.
We heard Luke Hodge mic'd up last Thursday night, an extraordinary insight into what happens on the ground. How much of that do you think Hodgie put on for the game?
I was about to say that. I think he put on most of it. No, he's a good talker on the field and a good leader and director. But I reckon he put on about 50% of that.
Hey, before we let you go, and Jay-Z should be asking these questions, he's the journo, but it's fallen to me. We've had Maxie Gorn in here, we've had Bernie Vince, and everyone talks about Roosie and how wonderful he is and a wonderful coach. And he's Mr. Perfect. Yeah. But those two gentlemen weren't afraid to... Well, they thought he was, as a coach, a touch lazy. Negatives for you as far as Rudy's coaching?
I think his meditation must have kicked in a bit too much. He was a bit zenned out most of the time. So.
It's a recurring theme, you know, when Max said it, I thought, oh, he's making it up. When Bernie said it, I thought, now we've got three confirmations that maybe
just fell asleep by office a couple of times.
Hey, Chip, great to see you, mate. We hope to see you out in the ground and ready to run around for the Hawks when they sneak into finals this year.
Thanks, boys. Thanks a lot.
That's it. Quick update on the fight, Duck.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao just coming into the ring, Howie, and Horn Hornet is waiting for him.
Pacquiao and Hornet in the ring. We're going to get to that as soon as it kicks off. Duck is our boxing expert. We were just discussing in the break.
Someone else has had a
fight. Well, we were discussing in our break about sparring, and then Jay-Z says, I need to take back to June 13, 2008, when, with my international boxing license, I stepped into the ring and had a professional fight.
Yeah, it happened, Howie.
Do you know that if I hadn't seen the photo, I wouldn't have believed it, because he doesn't strike me as a boxer.
Well, he's your heavyweight sort of style now, but I think in 2008, what happened, brother?
Yeah, it was a white-collar charity boxing event in Perth with all these sort of big businesses that put up a fighter. You train for 2 months, every day for 2 months, and then there's a big charity event, sort of 1,000 people there, and you go at it for 3 rounds. So we wore slightly bigger gloves and a head guard, obviously. But you talk about stepping into the ring before. The adrenaline I was feeling when I went into the ring, only for 3 rounds, mind you, was off the charts. It's one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
How were you introduced?
Sugar J. Clark.
Hey, how nervous were you though getting in the ring? Because it's
fighting?
A lonely, lonely place.
Super nervous. The two days before was a bit tight. Yeah.
Who'd you fight?
I worked at a newspaper called Sunday Times in Perth, and there was the Daily, the other newspaper, which we had a bit of a rivalry with. They were called the West Australian. So I fought a bloke from another newspaper.
Yeah,
and
right.
I won the first round. He won the second round. It was on for young and old in the third. And yeah, I got the belt.
One fight, one win, and now retired.
Retired.
Yeah. All right, it is now time for...
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
All right, Jay-Z with 4, Swatter 3, Duck 3, Roosie 2, and Nate Brown, who filled in last week, has 1. Test of the buzzers, please.
Swatter.
Sugar J.
Duck.
Roosie.
Right, here we go. Keep an eye on the fight for us, but pay attention, Duck, because it's quiz time.
Yep.
Nearest the pin, how many games... has Isaac Smith played?
Duck.
146.
Swatter. 146 for Duck.
165.
Roosie?
150.
150. Jay-Z?
160.
160. He has played 148. Duck. Well, very nice. Duck. Only two off.
Two off.
One to Ducky boy.
What was I?
You were 150, Roosie.
So what's that mean?
That's nearly a hole in one.
Well, that means split it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry about that.
One apiece for
that's
you, gentlemen.
That's nearly a hole in one for us, Roosie. That's
history.
Real close to the pin.
History. Who was the last player to play for both Collingwood and Hawthorn?
JJ. Jonathan Segler.
No.
Collingwood and Hawthorn.
Three.
Sure.
Won a premiership at the Hawks. Two. One, Clinton Young.
Gisborne boy.
Geography. Princess Park has been known by 4 names. Name 3 of them.
Duck. Optus Oval.
Yes.
Princess Park.
Yes.
JJ.
Hang on.
Sorry.
Oh, anyway. That'll
he's done.
And Icon Park.
That's correct. Another one for Jay-Z.
Such a nerd.
One to Jay-Z. One to Duck, one to Roosie.
Ever since he went out on that bender of a weekend, he's not losing anything, this bloke.
We go back to the 2000.
I don't think he went on the bender. I think he went to the library. That was his cover, Swatter.
Can you drink at the library?
For that.
I tell you can't drink at the library.
Different library to what I'm going to, the way he smelled when he came in. The 2011 preliminary final we go to. Hawthorn versus Collingwood. Guess the player.
Jolly and Bailey, third up.
Stop it.
Oh.
Yes, come on then.
I was going to say Luke Ball, but I'm wrong.
Who are you going to say?
Luke Ball.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, let's play it. Let's play it. Let's play it.
Down the ball. Can he do it again? Left foot kick. Oh, he's done it again.
Luke Ball. There you go. He did it twice.
Is he looking over your shoulder?
I don't think so. Roosie 2, Duck 1, Schwatter yet to score.
By the way,
JZ 1.
First round over and done with. Yep. Lively start by Young Horn. Took the fight up to Pacquiao. Pacquiao had a good second half of the first round, but I'd split it. Really even first
split round. All right. Someone needs to keep
Horn
track
of it. Horn did take the fight up to Pacquiao more so.
Who
though.
Won the round, Duck?
Didn't
you hear his decision?
Split it. Pretty tough, but if I was going to go one, I'd give it to Horn.
Okay. English, how many Jareds are there on the Gold Coast Suns list?
Swatter. 4.
Correct. For a bonus point.
Well done.
Wow. How many different spellings are there?
3.
You've been reading over my
shoulder. I didn't see it. It's just a guess.
Howie, if you sit up like that and have your answers ready,
I couldn't even read that if I tried.
Not that you tried. I didn't know you blokes are cheap. Jay-Z 1, Swatter 1, Duck 1.
Yeah, bonus point.
Roosie's 2. Oh, yes, 2 for Swatter.
Hey, have you got any more of those soups?
No.
Okay. Who during the week said this?
You're a dad now, you're going to be a proud father, you've got the little man. I think all that stuff's a great time in your life to go ahead and don't let this sit over your head and ruin all those good times.
Gee, Schwatter's come from the clouds.
That was Brent Staker.
He got the bonus one.
That was Brent Staker talking to Barry Hall. Okay, Schwatter 2, Duck 1, Roosie 2, Jay-Z 1.
I didn't get a point
for that.
He
said Luke Hodge.
2, I said Hodgie.
Yeah, and you got it wrong. But you got the bonus point for before, so you're up 2.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah.
Okay.
All good, Roosie.
I think Roosie said right.
2.
Yeah,
no, all good.
Schwatter 2.
Keep moving on.
Duck 1, Jay-Z 1. Who am I? I was born on the 21st of June, 1981. I was recruited from the Perth Football Club with pick 48 in the 1999 National Draft. I played 177 games for Hawthorn, kicking 67 goals. I played in the midfield in Hawthorn's grand final
Duck,
win.
Duck.
Yes.
It is Ben, and I can't think of his last name. He was a on-baller. Ben...
McGlynn?
No.
He didn't play in the premiership.
No. It's Ben's in the midfield. What's his name?
Not giving it to you.
Okay.
His name's not Ben, anyway.
No, it's not Ben.
Who was it?
Swatter. Chance Bateman.
Correct. Swatter takes it out.
Who's it was Ben Allen.
He's Ben back. Allen, yeah.
That's why I had the week off. I had to get my stuff together for the quiz.
So Schwatter with 3. Yeah. So now Schwatter is equal leader with Jay-Z on 4 apiece. All right, we're in the second round there. And it's be fair to say the focus is a touch split here in the box. We might take a quick break right now.
Pre-recorded interviews.
Brenton Sanderson will join us next. Now, I've got to say, we're trying to watch Horn Pacquiao and Duck reckons the first two
pretty close,
rounds were pretty much split.
Pretty close.
We're trying to watch this and listen to it, and Jay-Z's coming in. Yeah, but what about my fight? I rocked him in the first round. He had nothing in the second, and then I slammed him in the third round. It sounds like he's a combination of
Tyson. He's comparing
Tyson
himself
and
to Pacquiao, though.
Exactly.
Pacquiao, Jay-Z. I'm not sure. I'm not sure Mayweather's in as well.
Extraordinary. Duck, give us an update on what's happening. We're in the third round at the moment.
Yeah, starting to get a little bit more busy now is Pacquiao, so... No, it's a good fight, Howie. Okay. Good fight. Horn keeps walking up, so it's good. But Pacquiao getting a little busier.
One late change we mentioned earlier on, Jay-Z, for people just joining us on the Sunday Rub.
Yeah, Ben Stratton out, the premiership defender and the young Kiwi.
Stratton didn't play last week, though, did he?
Kurt Heavily. No, I don't think...
He was named in.
I thought he did. Yeah, I thought he played last week.
I think Horn might have a little cut above his right eye, too.
All right, it's all happening here, all happening down on the boundary, where we speak to Sarah Fayor for the first time. G'day, sir.
Thanks, Howie and team. Great to be joined by Brenton Sanderson. Now, who could forget the last time you played the Hawks? It truly was a tale of two halves. And I think Bucks joked about jumping in the car and driving home at halftime. But you got the chocolates in the end, and here we stand 6 weeks later. The Hawks are in good form. What's the key to beating them today?
I think last time, I mean, obviously we gave them a 6-goal head start, so it was 6-0 before we really got moving. And they were great defensively early in that game. We just could not get anything going with our offence. And There was a bit of a change of tack. We took them on a little bit more with our run and carry. It was a little bit more sort of unstructured, I guess, if you want to call it that. But the boys were just given a bit more freedom to move the ball offensively. And a couple of boys played really well. Billy Elliott was great, kicked 3 goals pretty much in the second half. And we had great forward pressure in that game as well. I think Bucks just mentioned then we had 91 tackles in that game, which is our second best result for the year. So I think that's part of our template today, is to try and bring defensive intensity consistently, and hopefully for 4 quarters we can play some good footy today, not just rely on a good half.
You speak of Jamie Elliott with the fresh peroxided looks, mind you, and you'd be very happy to welcome him back into the side. He's had some reoccurring issues with that left ankle. So how's he been tracking?
Yeah, it was a really nasty ankle injury that he got against Fremantle 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he is so important to us in the way that we structure up. I know he's not a key forward, but he's a small marking forward who's great at ground level as well. And he kicked 20 goals in 5 games for that little patch that he was in. And that's, I guess, no coincidence that that's when we were playing our best footy. So it's great to have him back. Our forward line looks a little bit more dangerous today with him in it, with Darcy Moore and Fasolo. You know, Greenwood at different times this year has been really influential as a forward for us. And, of course, Mason Cox, who's been biding his time, I guess. We've put it really on him the last sort of 6 weeks to get into good form. And he took 16 marks and kicked 6 goals last week in the VFL. So a different structure for us because we've been playing very small in our forward line, especially when Darcy Moore goes into the ruck and Brodie Grundy's off. We've had no tall forwards and we've still been able to mark it forward. I think we're second or third in the competition for marks inside forward 50 with a smaller dynamic forward line. But yeah, a bit of a different structure today, and hopefully Mason can take a few marks and kick a few goals.
Sando, I think Buck sort of addressed the Reid thing a little bit, so you don't need to sort of go on about it too much. But I was interested when Reid played forward. I think it was against the Giants, and I thought your forward line looked really functional that day. He might have got injured at the end of that game, my memory.
Yeah, tore his quad late the fourth quarter, yeah.
And I thought he played really, really well. And you talked about your forward line just then in that last question. Do you not think maybe you can play Cox, Reid and Darcy Moore forward? So just a bit of insight. Understand why he's not playing back, as Bucks said, but why not throw him up the other end of the ground?
Yeah, definitely came up in match committee, Roosie. It was something that we deliberated on because he's such a good player. It's hard to leave a player of his talent and class out of the side. And I know the guys down back have been playing, you know, specific roles and been in good form. And it's, I guess, our forward line where we've been craving a dominant key forward, and just to give Darcy Moore a bit of a chop out. And I guess it came down to picking Mason Cox, who spent most of the season sort of preparing with the forwards, or Ben Reid, who hasn't done much work with the forwards, but as you said, has sort of pinch hit there with sort of reasonable success. And it's not many teams now go, as you know, with a sort of three tall forward line, just because the ball bounces out of there so quick. And the way that sides roll back now, they outnumber and they sort of get quality, quick inside, rebound 50. So a little bit for us was how do we get our best forward line pressure as well when the ball hits the deck. And I guess that was in the end, the decision to play Mason ahead of Ben Reid.
And what about Chris Mayne, Sando? Where's his form line at?
Yeah, really close too. He's just had some issues trying to find the footy. I know his sort of brand, I guess, is that defensive forward pressure. And that's been consistent when he's played. He played 3 games for us earlier in the year, but he's just found it hard to get his hands on the footy. And to his credit, he's had 2 good games back in the VFL. He kicked a 5 last week and a 4 the week before. So he's really knocking the door down now. And it puts a bit of pressure on the guys in our forward mix today. You know, they've got to play well. Otherwise, you know, a guy with his experience, he's played 180 AFL games. And, you know, twice he's kicked 40 goals in a season at AFL level. So we've just got to make sure that he keeps that consistency going as a small forward who can hit the scoreboard and also rely on that forward pressure. But we've got some good selection headaches. It's nice to finally get some guys into some decent form and hopefully push for selection over the next few weeks.
Sando, Tommy Mitchell, I think, had nearly 50 possessions last time you played them. How are you going to structure up in that on-ball department? Is there a tag there? How are you going to play him?
Yeah, it's a good question because we spent about an hour on that during the week having that debate, because you're right. I mean, last time we sort of... I think he had 24 in the first half and 26 in the second half. And, you know, Scotty Burns, our midfield coach, just sort of kept raising it and said, you know, Mitchell's really getting off the leash here. What do you guys want to do? And it was just sort of felt at that time we were getting on top offensively, and, you know, Pendlebury, Treloar, Adams going head-to-head with their midfield. We felt we didn't need to run with him. But, yeah, we're going to start that way today. We're going to have, you know, Pendlebury side-bottom, Treloar and Adams go head-to-head with their midfield, but knowing that we've got Levi Greenwood as a forward, who's, I guess, our plan B. So if he's influential, if Mitchell gets his hands on it and sort of breaking the game open, that's definitely an option for us. But, I mean, we sort of look at Sean Burgoyne too as another one that we're going to have to keep a real eye on today. His game against Adelaide last week, he was critical to Hawthorn's win last week, and he's another one that we're going to keep a really close eye on today. So he doesn't need to have 50. He can hurt you with 15 possessions. Burgoyne is just so smart, and with his class. So he's one we're going to watch pretty closely today as well.
Yeah, Sander, tell us a little bit about the scouting of Hawthorn, because to the untrained eye, I guess that we're not involved in club land anymore. They look to have changed dramatically the last game. I felt they really reliant last time you played them on that uncontested marking, and that was sort of their A, B, C, and D game. I felt they were a lot harder around the contest against Adelaide, yep. A lot more committed to contested ball, to tackling. So just tell us a little bit scouting them this time compared to last time.
Yeah, well, I guess one thing for the listeners today, when you look at them statistically, and I guess as you mentioned, a game style that they've made their own really the last 10 seasons of really owning the tempo of the game and controlling it by sort of a short kick and mark game. They're actually now, they still do that in the back half. So from defence, they'll look to short kick, be patient, really build, I guess, till they get to halfway. But with a taller forward line now, they're going a lot more direct, a lot longer once they get in the front half of the ground. So, yeah, for the people at the game today, you'll probably notice a Hawthorn side that'll try and short kick and mark a bit down back and then sort of break through the centre of the ground and kick it long to a contest. Guys, like Ruffhead and Showmakers and Gunston and those sort of guys who have been very good in the air. And I mean, crumbing wise, they've always been a dangerous side, but with Polopolo and Rioli out of the side, they've got to look for other avenues now to get those ground balls.
Sander, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Collingwood Footy Club today and Scotty Pendlebury's 250th.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Great to speak to Brendan Sanderson, an assistant at the Collingwood Footy Club. Duck, you've got an eye on the fight.
Yeah, 22 seconds to go in the fifth round, Howie. Pretty even fight, to be honest.
Not a dud either. Sometimes these get built up and it's a bit of a dud, but there's plenty of punches being thrown.
No, has he got a cut now?
He's got a cut above his right eye, has horn.
Yep. Did he land a couple of decent ones?
They've both landed a couple of decent ones. It's a good fight, but it's really, really even. There's not a standout at this point.
They're going at it.
Jay-Z, a little bit of talk around Melbourne. I noticed in the paper today that a couple of the boys might have had a beer and that cost them a potential for a game on Friday night.
Yeah, big news from Sammy Landsberg and the Herald Sun website last night that Jay Kennedy, Harris Dean Kent, Ben Kennedy and Jakey Spencer were unavailable for selection in the loss to Sydney at the weekend because they effectively broke the club's alcohol ban the week before. So Melbourne were at the end of a really challenging run. They had three consecutive six-day breaks and basically from the player leadership group, they agreed that they'd sort of stay off the fizz, really, for that period, which makes sense to me. But after the VFL game, again, a week before, those four boys maybe went to the pub and had a couple of beers. Nothing too outlandish or anything like that. Their behaviour was fine, but they were obviously spotted out and broke the team rules. Were therefore unavailable for selection last weekend, this weekend.
Christian Petrarca spoke about it, apparently, on Channel 7's Game Day this morning.
The VFL had a seven-day break, so they were allowed to have a few beers, but I think they probably got to realise it's halfway through the game, Jeffrey Garlick came down injured and so did Salem, so there was, available for selection. So I guess it's just the thing that we've got to take care of, and we've moved on pretty quickly, and hopefully they can play some good VFL footy and come back in the team.
To me, this is a pretty strong statement, really, from the Melbourne Footy Club about culture and what they want to do. Roosie, what's your take on this incident?
Yeah, look, Goody's really strong on the behaviours and part of a structure at the Crows with leading teams and all that sort of stuff. So he's very familiar with that and very strong on how he wants to continue to build the football club. And, I think it's pretty clear cut. Obviously the players have agreed on something and a few have gone back on it. And I think from a club point of view, it's disappointing because I must admit, not knowing what had happened, I looked at the paper and I thought once Jeffy went down, I thought, well, Salem will go out, maybe a halfback, maybe a Wagner will come in and Kent or Jay Kennedy Harris will come forward or maybe bring Kent and Jay Kennedy Harris. I was a bit surprised
at the
when they didn't, but that makes sense now why they couldn't bring them in. So, it's a strong statement and Goody's really strong on that. I think it's one of those things that happens. It happens in a lot of footy clubs and you deal with it in a strong manner and you send a strong message.
Are you surprised that the players would do that?
I'm always surprised at, having been in footy for a long period of time, I'm always surprised when players, whether it's kind of Blakely going surfing when he should be at the footy club or the
boys.
It was
pumping, Rudy. Yelling up was 4 foot and pumping. Come on.
Yeah, I always feel like, players still, and they're young, bearing in mind, and I'm not specifically talking about the Melbourne guys, but I think there's still, this notion that we're not full-time footballers. That's probably the thing that annoys me. Every single thing that you do as a person reflects on your football. Now, that might mean, and don't get me wrong, that might mean sometimes you go for a surf, sometimes you have a beer. That's all part of it. But you need to be thinking 24 hours a day, I am an AFL footballer. That's what you need to be thinking. Now, whatever you do during that week needs to relate to you as a footballer, not punching the clock in and punching it out. Oh, I'm a footballer when I go to the office, and I'm a footballer when I go to the game on the weekend. No. As a footballer, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of the year.
Update from Brisbane in the fight.
Yeah, Pacquiao's got a gash on top of his head. Oh, I think it was a head clash Howie. Yeah. So the fight was stopped for a little bit in the sixth round, but they're back into it with a minute to go in the sixth.
Who's winning?
It's seriously hard to pick, Jay, I think.
Jay-Z, just a further update on Melbourne. Jack Viney didn't play out the game. There was talk of plantar fasciitis. This is on the back of injury concerns. Garlett's still out of the team. Watts is still out of the team. They're hoping to get Jesse Hogan back possibly next week.
Yeah, he might come into the frame. He's got to train well this week, Jesse. But it is a blow. Jack Viney's been playing with a sore foot the past couple of weeks. I understand he heard a pop in game and more pain in that foot in the loss to Sydney on Friday night. So he could be out for a couple of weeks now. What they're hoping in the plantar fascia is a full tear. That would aid his recovery rather than a partial tear. That's where it's...
It's the Robert Harvey jump off the bench, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, look, he's an outside chance to play this week. I think more likely a couple of weeks out. Hopefully not too much longer, but credit to him, really, for playing with a bit of through duress in the past couple of weeks.
All right.
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
Slightly different version of Roosie's story time. Mark Howe with you, Wayne Swash, Jay Clark, Paul Roos himself and Wayne Carey. Before we get to it, gee, there's some blood being shed up in Brisbane, Duck. It's looking pretty nasty.
Yeah, I think Pacquiao's got another cut to his head, Howie. So that's two cuts on top of his head. Not on the eyes or anything like that, but on top of the head.
What round are we at, Duck?
We're in round seven with 30 seconds to go.
Gee, your man's looking reasonably strong, I reckon, your local boy, Horn.
Yeah, he's going all right. I reckon that, I tell you what, it's a really, really good fight, Howie.
One of the boxing writers, just looking on social media now, has got it Pacquiao up 58-56 in the seventh round.
Be fair to say this is a sport that occasionally throws up a controversial result, though, Jay. Well, I don't want to go out too far.
That is true. Yeah.
Now, Roosie, you come every week with we had a couple of texts this morning. You had three or four ideas about Roosie's story time, and I asked you on the back of Barry Hall and Brent Staker sitting together if we could have a bit of a chat about what happened with Barry Hall and the Brent Staker incident. You're obviously coaching Sydney at that stage. So in the box, do you have any idea what's happened on the ground?
Yeah, look, because it's funny. First thing you get asked after a game generally is, do you see what happened? And most coaches you do, but not to the point where you're comfortable commentating. Because when you see an incident like a Tommy Bug thing or a Hawley, we're there watching the game. But we have a TV there. You might glance up and but you can't analyse it. You can't really know because, bang, you're straight back to the game. So you don't, when coaches sort of say, I didn't really see it, what we're saying is, well, we can't really analyse it because there's no point. What you don't want to do is, yeah, I saw it. And then the next question is going to be, what did you think? So it's not so much you don't see it. It's more when the coaches say that is, we can't analyse it. So why even put it out there to say... So the easiest thing to say is, no, I didn't see it. And to be perfectly frank, it was a fair while ago now. How vivid it... But I remember also at the time, if you run through the different scenarios with a bug and with Bashahuli and Hawley and Staker were on during the week. Yeah, and there's some vision of me talking to Hawley at halftime. So I was aware of it, but I think Hawley had also slid into the boundary and hurt his wrist. So
are you discussing the incident with him when you're talking to him?
Well, I didn't at the time, but I wanted to see how he was, how he was feeling, and having a general discussion. Now, players, as Swatter and Duck know, are very, very different. Some players... And I'm not talking about this incident specifically. I'm talking about, I mean, Swatter might be easy to talk to during a game, quarter time, half time, where you can, or he might even come and seek feedback. Duck might have been completely different. Duck might have been just so tunnel vision. Hawley was one of those guys that was really tunnel vision. Kirky was a bit like that as well, so he wasn't. So even though I was talking to him, I could sense that he really wasn't listening to me and really wasn't taking it in. So you still have a conversation because you want to show all players that, you know, not so much to care, that you're going to coach them all. But I remember that quite vividly, that when I was talking to him at half time, I knew he really wasn't taking much in. So at
what point for you did you realise the enormity of what happened on the field, and then how did you address that?
Oh, look, straight after the game. And I think what we're seeing now, and if you again, we're just using the most recent examples, Buggy's the most recent. And from memory, Hawley was exactly the same. I mean, they understand now that they've done the wrong thing. Yeah, Hawley after the game, yeah, next day, yeah, we strategised. But there's not
what's the strategy? Well,
no, it's not a lot of strategy. When a player throws his hands in the air as Barry did, as Basher did, as Buggy did, there's no strategy around how we're going to get you off. And I think Hawley was, you know, was great in relation to that. You know,
do you cook him at all? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm just trying to...
No, I'm cook him at all? Because you guys probably find it more interesting. It's more relevant to you to ask the questions. I think we talked about that with Roosie's story time today.
Is there any Barry, you've done the wrong thing here, you're going to have to pay a price?
Well, when he understands. So the depending on their response, then it's how you react to it. So given that he was straight away, then all you don't really have to tell him you've done the wrong thing because he knows.
Yeah.
What's that?
He was remorseful.
Yeah, absolutely. He was remorseful at the time, and I think he said, look, I'm prepared to take the consequences, whatever happens, et cetera, et cetera. So there's not a lot of strategy that goes into it. I think what we're also seeing and what we'd ask people to do, and clearly, you know, using the bug scenario, the most recent, and Staker, you know, the immediate response from everyone is, you know, what a silly thing to do. And we've heard some Swans players come out saying it's a dog act, it's a cheap shot. You know, I go home and I know Cal really well. I text him after the game to make sure he's okay, et cetera, et cetera. But just as long as we understand, I think through seeing Hall in how it's affected him, you know, we understand also, and I think Gil made a really good point about Basher not booing Basher. So there's two sides to this. There's clearly the first side, and in no way, shape or form, I'm standing up for what Bug or Hawley. And Hawley wouldn't either, and neither would Buggy or Basher.
So at what point do you then put your arm around the player?
Yeah, that's I guess what I'm getting at. You know, first thing, I think I rang Brent Staker and I spoke to Brent. So there's a real process you go around as a footy club in terms of how you deal with these issues. You've got to make sure the first thing, and I'm really pleased, you know, again, with Buggy, that the first response is about Callum Mills, Basher Hawley, the first response is about Jed Lamb. So, again, without going, I can't remember exactly, but then there's a point of making sure that your player is sound to come back and play, and making sure that your player feels valued around what he's done, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's a really important part of Richmond with Basher, you know, Melbourne with Buggy. Because as I said, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's easy for people to condone it. And Hawley sort of, you know, sums it up. Like, it's affecting him for the rest of his... He understands the impact and you know, this one punch thing that Danny Green is really pushing now, and we're all seeing at nightclubs and things like that. Yeah, this, and I didn't see it, but I'd read a bit about it. Yeah, he's sitting there with Brent Staker, feeling really uncomfortable watching that incident. You can imagine how uncomfortable Basher would feel now about what he did, how uncomfortable Buggy feels about what he's done.
And on that very point, Swatter, I thought it was fantastic that Ryan Larkin and the Melbourne media department got Tom to speak afterwards, because straight away you can see how remorseful he is. You can see he's an intelligent young man that realises he's done the wrong thing.
Yeah, he was distraught.
You realise he's not a thug, but Swatter, you can't defend and act like that on the footy field, and none of us are trying to, but I look at it now and I just see the effect of social media, and we're all employed to talk about these incidents. Like, Tommy Bug wakes up today, it's like he started World War III. And sometimes, as I said, you can't defend what he did on the field, but it's a mistake. It was a bad mistake. But I sometimes get concerned now, the flip side, about that young bloke when he wakes up today and he reads the paper and everyone's saying he's a thug, he's done this, he should never play again, he should get out for 8 weeks, etc.
Yeah, look, I agree with everything that's been said so far. And I don't know Tommy Bugaroosi, but I do not believe for one moment that was premeditated. Sometimes we do things where it's a spur of the moment. And the moment you do it, you know I've done the wrong thing. That's a horrible thing to do. And from afar, we called the game. It looked like Tommy didn't have his normal game. It doesn't excuse what he did on Friday night post-game, but I thought it was a good thing to do. I think that it got the story out in the open. He spoke. Club allowed him to speak. Yes, we'll dissect whether or not it's four, it's five, it's six. But then I listened intently yesterday when the boys spoke to Goody, And I was really pleased. And it didn't surprise me, though. But, yeah, okay, we've done the wrong thing. He's got to take his medicine. He'll accept whatever punishment comes his way. But we will support our player. I think it's really important because when you do these things, when you make mistakes like that, and I made mistakes during my career, it's bloody lonely because you're beating yourself up. You know you've done the wrong thing. You know you've let your teammates down. You know you've sent a really bad message for the footy club. It's critical, even though a player's done the wrong thing, that the club does support him internally because he's going through his own challenging period at that stage.
Swatter, Melbourne couldn't have handled it any better. We had Nath Jones at halftime on Friday night. He addressed it. Obviously, Viney addressed it straight after the game. Barg addressed it himself.
It's a real shift, Duck. It's a real shift by the footy club.
And then Goodwin addressed it on the night as well. So every aspect, you know, the two captains, the man himself and the coach all addressed it. I thought it was superb. Now, what has to happen is the AFL have to sharpen things up, and that should be either sat yesterday or today so it's over and done with, not Tuesday. Yeah. So that's just my opinion.
And I think on that too, Jay-Z, with you, one of the things I have learned, probably made a couple of mistakes coaching Sydney in regard to this, I think getting on the front foot is really important now because, yeah, if you let
from
it
media
fester,
perspective.
Yeah, from a media perspective, 100%, and being really honest and being really open, because the old method doesn't work, because a one-day story becomes a three-day story, becomes a seven-day story, becomes a, and probably dealing with Tony Lockett was, and I was more of a player then, I didn't really coach him. Yeah, there's probably some things that Plugger might have addressed earlier, and there's some other things along the way. I think 2006 grand final, I think Hawley didn't have a great grand final, and we probably should have put him up. Yeah, grand final's hard because... Yeah, everyone sort of disperses pretty quickly, but I think he carried a bit of baggage from that because he's so hard on himself. So there's probably a couple of examples. And I think clubs need to, and that's where the media and the clubs can really get together and build some trust, build some relationships in those very moments. And I think the club's doing that a lot better now with Basher and with Buggy.
Do you think we'll get a mending of the ways between clubs and media as an industry? Because at some stage, a total lack of trust.
Oh, there's no doubt. We sort of touched on it last week. We got the thing on the back of Bucks' thing. But I think they're the times, and I'm big on this, because I think Jay-Z or Ralphie, I was talking to, I can't say. There was a recent article of a young player, and he thought the article was fantastic, loved it, great. And then when he read it, he was fuming. Yeah, because one part of it was highlighted. It spoke to someone for 2 hours. My take on this, and far be it forgive any advice to the media, my take on it would have been, write that article without it. When that was relevant again, ring that young boy up and say, listen, I felt that was really interesting. You get two articles out of it. You build a relationship, you get two articles, and you've made that relationship for life. I think it's a two-way street. Play the long game. I think it's a really big issue, Swatter, and I think both parties need to get better at doing it better.
Horn Pacquiao, Duck.
Yeah, they're letting some bombs go now. Howie, they're toe-to-toe. I reckon Pacquiao's starting to get on top, but I'll tell you what, Horn just keeps walking up and they're tired.
What round we at, Duck?
Yeah, round 10 with a minute 49 to go, and very tired boys at this point, and both just standing toe-to-toe.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Worst thing in media, but best segment in media. The new Despicable Me 3 Family Box is now available at Macca's. Made for sharing, made for family. One round to go. Horn Pacquiao. Whoever wins, the defeated boxer, Jay-Z, will walk away with a lot of plaudits because this has been a genuine war up there in Brisbane.
Yeah, a really aggressive fight from what I can tell, and a very even one. So here's the primary school teacher going up against one of the greatest boxers of all time, and I would think won a lot of respect from the boxing industry at the moment. He's been fantastic, Jeff.
Financially, though, the difference between winning respect and winning the fight is probably about $10 million for you, man, Jeff Horn. All right, let's get into the big three, Jay-Z. There's one round to go. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of this week talking to clubs and experts about goal kicking, Howie, and I think that we might be on the cusp of a pretty big change at Clubland in regards to goal kicking next pre-season. Now, I spoke to Ben Dixon at length and a couple of other people for an article in the Herald Sun.
A great article, too, it was.
Yeah, during the week, and we talked about routines and a lot of things, and Dicko sort of said he was so staggered that a player could use one routine for one shot and then 5 minutes later, from basically the same spot on the ground, then go with a different routine, eight more steps. trips or a longer period of time, etc. And subsequently to that article, speaking to a few clubs, I think they are now more open next year or next season to employing more dedicated full-time goal-kicking coaches. So it's been a real bugbear, as I understand it, this season for coaches, Duck, and it's been something you've been pushing for a little while now. But I think we might see next season a handful of full-time dedicated goal-kicking coaches like what Saverio Rocca does at Carlton with Levi Casbolt at AFL level.
I really enjoyed Dicko's thoughts about payment and, you know, what's $10,000 to a club. But if you can improve it this much, you could be on an incentive-based situation, Dicko, where if you improve the goal-kicking by a certain amount, that reflected your pay. I like that idea.
So what clubs don't... I didn't read the article, but I'm a bit surprised by what you're talking about. So what are you saying? Some clubs don't... pay attention to goal kicking?
Well, if you're Brenton Sanderson's a forward coach at Collingwood, so he's got 44 players to organise and all the different things has happened. Now, as part of his portfolio, he's got goal kicking. What Ben Dixon is saying is that he needs that needs to be a portfolio for a person basically 3, 4, 5 days a week. So how much time has Sando got with everything on his plate to do goal kicking as well, especially in the preseason when you need to drill down on everyone's techniques? He's saying up to 8 to 10 hours a week need to be spent by the forwards on goal kicking.
I agree. And well overdue. I mean, it's the most important thing in our game to be able to kick shots, Roosie, that you have to kick. And let's be honest, Richmond, you can talk about that last minute in a lot of those games. That's not what lost them those games. It was misses from 30 out.
It's cost them
directly
3 wins
in front. So, well overdue. And I think that, to have someone like Dicko would be sensational.
Would you answer the call, Dick, Duck, if somebody rang you up? I know you spent some time down there in theory at Collingwood, but if you got a second crack, would you go down there or are you too busy?
It just depend, Howie.
Cash.
And that.
Yeah, right.
Well, Dicko said he has absolutely no doubt in the world he could improve players or clubs 3 to 5% with a couple of days a week. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever.
I agree with Dicko. It's funny that BT doesn't think guys can improve. You only have to look at what Levi Casbolt has done this year.
14%.
I mean, you can 100% improve your goal kicking. No doubt about it.
I think it's like everything. You can improve, I guess. Again, not having read the article, and I'll ask Dicko because I work with him, but clubs spend an enormous amount of time, I can only speak to the two clubs that I've been with, the Swans and Melbourne, on goal kicking. And every player that would have been on the Swans list, every player on the Melbourne list has a goal kicking routine, and every player practices goal kicking. So the challenge that is fairly and squarely on the table is the amount of time players now spend at clubs. Because they're only there for 3.5 days a week.
The fight is over.
The fighters have
claimed it.
Well, both teams have jumped in. And
you're the man. You've won.
They've lifted the boxes up as if they've won. That's the byplay now.
Does that give you a point on the scorecard?
Well, yeah.
The first bloke.
Who celebrates if they've won the most?
Yeah. Horn hit Pacquiao with 3 big shots in the last 15 seconds. And you thought, is Pacquiao struggling here? Bell goes and Pacquiao does a little dance, throws a few jabs just to show, hey, I'm right. I'm ready to go. Don't put this against me.
This is going to be a close decision, I would think, Howie.
Split decision.
Interesting.
All right, Jay-Z, I like the first one. We'll keep you updated with the decision. Number two in the big three.
Yeah, another couple of days of tribunal talk coming up. I think we're looking potentially at a five to six match suspension for Tommy Bugg. As we said earlier, he was absolutely distraught with himself after the game, and we saw that. But it's reignited calls for a red card rule. And interesting that Lee Matthews, one of the most respected voices in the game, has thrown his support behind that. Roosie, what do you think? Do you think a red card rule, when an incident like that happens specifically so early in the match, you know, Horse Longmire was down a player from the 5th minute of the game. Would you advocate a red card rule for Tommy Bugg?
I spoke about it on Fox Footy the other night, but I think let's not call it a red card rule because I'm not familiar with what it happens at local footy and what happens, etc., etc. Should a player be taken off? 100%. No question. I don't care what the rule is.
If you offend, you should be taken off.
In that instance, there should be an AFL person up in the box, looks at the interview, contacts the Sydney bench. Is Callum Mills coming back on the ground? No, he's not. Message goes to the Melbourne bench. Thomas Bugg is off for the rest of the game. So I don't care what you call it, but I don't want to confuse it with, the May thing with Stephen Martin sort of thing. Yep. So because you could argue
it was off the ball, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you could argue the style, and again, I'm going back, but someone mentioned it to me yesterday, which I didn't disagree with. Maybe a football incident that's gone wrong. Yeah, so you'd need to clarify. I don't want blokes red carded for somewhat minor incidents that might happen at a local game or whatever. So that's
by an external party. It's not done by the umpires on the field. It's done by a video.
It's done by a video. Right. I mean, tell me, how hard would it have been to adjudicate
in that instance
and Bashahuli's incident? So all it does is to bring that player off. He can't play for the rest of the game, and it evens up the numbers.
Stop making changes. We just jump for these things. We just keep continuing to want to fix things and change things and add things.
Duck.
And well, gee, let the game just rest for a little bit.
I agree with that, Duck. And I've been the biggest advocate. We just
all the time, and then you know what happens. This is what we do. We all jump up and down, and we say let's bring in the red card rule, and then there'll be a decision where someone gets sent off and it's wrong. Why did we bring the red card rule in? It's just settle, just calm.
Fighters are in the middle, both in the hand of the referee.
Oh!
Jeff Horn!
Oh, he's won.
The Hornet has beaten Manny Pacquiao. He's got two arms raised in the air in front of 50,000 plus people up in Brisbane.
Amazing.
One of the great upsets in boxing.
I don't think he'll be going back to teach his classroom for a while.
I wouldn't have thought he'd be at school on Monday. They say he was going to earn, if he won, upwards around 800,000, but his next fight might be worth 5 million. He's being put the
belt
around his waist. So Jeff Horn has beaten Manny Pacquiao in a points decision.
No one gave him any chance,
be
Howie.
Very keen to hear Manny's post-fight presser.
So there you go. We better get to the third, because that's about all I've got in the boxing commentary department, Jay-Z.
Hey, concussion, fellas. We saw Joel Selwood miss the game last night, the draw with Greater Western Sydney, and a lot of support over the last fortnight for having a mandatory week out if you are diagnosed with concussion in a game. So Geelong last night didn't play Selwood, and we're all very happy with that decision. But what if that was a preliminary final, and this is the next week, it was a grand final? And that is a 50-50 call for a coaching staff and a medical team, Roosie. So,
well, is it your call? It's not your call.
It's not, yeah. I think the concussion thing's a big issue, clearly. It's changed dramatically, really, hasn't it, over the last two or three years. And the doctors are a lot more hamstrung. There's a lot of tests that you've got to go through. So it can be somewhat black and white. The mandatory week off's a little bit more difficult, I guess. You know, I'm not a doctor, clearly. I know America, they're very strict on, I think they have a mandatory week off, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera. But I really think that's much more of a medical decision than it is a AFL football decision. Because it's impossible. How can a coach
No two players react or respond or behave the same way.
But what don't we know about concussion? What are we going to find out in the next 10 or 20 years?
Well, who knows?
I think the game could err on the side of caution here,
But I think in fairness, though, you know, a lot of people had a lot to say last week about whether or not Joel should play or shouldn't play. I've got absolute belief and confidence in every medical team that works at an AFL club.
Yep.
These people never put the athletic performance and output, Howie, above and beyond the safety and well-being of the player.
So I would have played in a grand final this week.
Well, you know, here's the conundrum, really, because as a player, if you put yourself in that position, yeah, you desperately want to play, but at some point, it's got to be a decision which may not be yours anyway. Mm.
It's a medical decision. You have a mandatory week. A guy wakes. It's a 10-day break.
Yeah.
A guy's already been out for 7 days.
Yep. He's
so
good to go.
He's already been out for a week. So what happens in that situation? I think it's clearly a medical decision.
Yep.
Results through from the boxing. Jeff Horn wins. The judges went Horn 117-111, Horn 115-113, Horn 115-113. Jeff Horn wins the WBO welterweight title by a unanimous decision. One of the biggest upsets in Australian boxing history.
Out of interest, and I'm not trying to cast any aspersions, it's a great result. I'd be very interested to know where the judges were from, because what was it, 100? Did you say
117-111?
That's a domination. I don't know if that was a domination, that fight.
One judge, yeah.
Well, what it was, though.
He did take the fight up to Pacquiao.
Yeah, no,
he was
look,
walking
well
up the whole
great fight. Yep. Great
it's the type of fight that reinvigorates boxing, I reckon, Duck. Hopefully there's no controversy. We didn't listen, so can't tell the exact result, but we can tell you who won, and we can tell you it was a ripping fight. So well done to both those men, both absolute warriors in the ring, and Jeff Horn Well, the school teacher, as you said, Schwatter, I'm not sure he's turning up to school.
You may not be able to see this at home, but have a look at the amount of tape that is on the hands of these boxers. You get hit by one of those with a glove on, which is probably a 7-ounce glove, like Jay-Z just clubbed his man back in 2008. Right. He kept showing us. Can you believe he had so many photos?
We just put it straight up on Instagram.
What I didn't like, though, was how high the pant was sitting.
It was a high pant.
Where does that leave Pacquiao, though? So, Duck, you were saying he can't fight Mayweather now, can he?
There was rumours that there might be a rematch with Mayweather, but given that result,
he's pretty much done now.
I think his trainer said if he loses, then that could be the end.
Where does it leave him, Roosie? With another $10 million in the bank account. That's where it leaves
him.
Well,
he probably doesn't need it anyway.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.